Appreciate the meeting, being here at the meeting, and all the good things that we've heard. I hope you're not too saturated at this point. My name is Bob Wilson. We attend the congregation in Enid, Oklahoma, some of you don't know me. But I've enjoyed the songs and the young people and even the pigeons that have come in seem like they have... They must think we're a peaceable people. They just kind of come in and made their home and joined the services too. I'd like to share something I believe the Lord has put on our heart. I'd like to start off in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter. Proverbs, the 29th chapter and the 18th verse. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I've been thinking about vision and how important it is for us to have vision, to have a vision in our life. And here it says, without a vision, the people perish. But it also says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, the scriptures are given to us. They're a plan. The scriptures are a plan for us to live our lives by. And when we follow that plan, it brings about happiness and contentment. It brings the Lord's blessing into our life. When we don't follow that plan, it brings heartache, trouble, and sorrow. And you don't have to look very far to see that. Today, among our families and in the world today. I'd like to use the word vision a little bit loosely here. When you look it up, the Hebrew word, it means a sight, a dream, a revelation, oracle. It can be all of those things, a vision, having a vision. I'm a visual person. I like pictures. If I tried to read directions, it seems like I have to read them 20 times to get a hold of what it's telling me to do. But if I can see a picture out to the side, I just grasp it a lot easier and I'm able to move on quicker. And God has used pictures. He's used visions to speak to His people and to deal with us and to work with us all through the years of time that he's worked with man. I think about Pharaoh when he had his dream of the 7 fat cows and the 7 lean. It had meaning. It had purpose. And Joseph was able to recognize what the dream meant. And they were able to prepare for the seven good years that came. They were able to store up in those good years to prepare for the 7 lean years that came. It gave them focus. It gave them a responsibility. It gave them a purpose and a direction. The 7 fat cows and the 7 thin cows. And I believe that this morning. I believe that a vision gives us purpose in our life. It gives us direction. And it gives us strength. And many times energy comes from having a vision that God wants us to have. He said, without a vision, the people perish. Or we fail, or we come short of what God is calling us. You remember also the vision that God gave believe it was to Nebuchadnezzar. He was thinking about what was out in the future, what was ahead. And God gave him that a dream or a vision, and he saw the great image and the 4 different things that was to come. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian, the Grecians, the Roman, before God would set up his kingdom. Well, that gave the people, that gave them a sense of what to expect and what to look for. And that vision was so vital for them. And we can look back and see how that played out. Well, we have one in Revelations also about how the false spirit came out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. That helps us recognize where our battle's at and the things that are challenging us and facing us today. We're encompassed with those powers, those pagan powers that have been revived, and we see it in our world so strongly today. The beast power, we see that working in our world today, is still a power, and false Christianity. We see all these things that work, and we need to be reminded, and Lord, help us to recognize the things that we face and are against today. I want to get now a scripture in the book of 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter. 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter. I believe we'll start at verse 1. It said, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days." And then it says, "There was no open vision." So here, and what I get from this word precious means that it was scarce, that it wasn't real frequent. It said, "The word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision." It was like the people were just wandering from day to day, from week to week, and month to month, and year to year. There was no guiding force. There was no direction. They weren't receiving the purpose that God had for them in their lives. And they were just going through. It said there was no open vision. You know, it's important for us today to have a vision. A vision to me is a picture. It's a plan of what God is wanting in my life and in my heart. And a vision gives me purpose, it gives me direction, and it gives me strength, and it's very important for us. It's a plan for us. I know in the sports world, they don't just go out and play their games. They develop a game plan. They study the defense, they study the offense. They find out their strengths, their weaknesses. And they develop a plan to try to isolate their strengths and to try to expose their weaknesses. They do that. They have a plan, a game plan. Businesses are the same way, aren't they? They spend a lot of time and an effort, a lot of money to study the trends and the things that are going on around them in the world. And they put effort into that and they develop a plan that they follow. You know, a plan also, a vision, it brings a cohesiveness. It brings a togetherness in our families and in the church and in the congregation. When we understand and have a vision, it brings a togetherness. But without a vision, without that plan, we're just scattered. Every man to his own tent. We're just doing our own thing. But if I have a vision and if I have a plan, it's bringing about, instead of separating, it's causing to come together. You know, I think about building a house and how usually we have a plan when we go to build a house. And you lay it out and you measure the lines. You know what you want the rooms to be, and you measure and you lay it out and you begin to follow the plan. But I think about some houses you look at and you can tell there was no plan. They have a room here and the roof's all weird and another room was added on there. You could tell it was just added on to and added on to and added on to, and there was no vision, there was no plan. You know, that's the way we get in our spiritual lives sometimes. If we lose our vision and we lose our plan, then it's just, there's no cohesiveness to it. It's scattered. Lord, help us today to be able to have the plan and the vision that God wants us to have. I remember reading a statement years ago that stayed with me, and I wrote it down and remembered it, but it says, "He who aims at nothing hits it every time." He who aims at nothing hits it every time. If we don't have an aim, if we don't have a plan that we're living to, we've got a plan, and then when decisions, if I've got a plan, if I've got a vision, then when decisions arise, I check the plan. Does this go with the vision? Does this go with the plan that God has given to me? And if it doesn't, then we discard it. We want to follow the plan and the vision that God gives. Another scripture I wanted to look at is in the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter. Numbers, the 14th chapter. And we remember the spies that went in. And we remember the reports that they came back with. And Joshua and Caleb had a good report. They said, we're able to go in the land that God wants us to have. We're able to possess it. But the other 10 said, we're not able. They saw the giants. They saw the discouragement. They saw the fortified walls. And they said, we're not able to do it. What caused the difference? What was the difference in the vision? What was the difference of why two saw it? They saw the same things. They searched it all out together. But they saw they had two different visions, two different things. I want to look in Numbers, the 14th chapter, in the 22nd verse. It says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall they any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. This gives us a note of why, what made the difference. Caleb and Joshua were following the Lord with all their hearts. They had their whole heart in giving themselves to God. And then when it came time, they had a vision. They had something that was enabling them to go in. They had a purpose. They had a calling, and God was able to bless them because they had followed Him fully. Yeah. I know it works that way with us today. The more that we give ourselves to the Lord, the more that we submit to Him, the more that we consecrate ourselves to Him, the greater vision, the greater the clarity that He's able to give to us. We don't just figure it out in our own mind. The scripture talked about the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit for their foolishness unto him. But when we give ourselves to God and we allow those barriers to be broken down and we seek God with all of our hearts, then He begins to reveal to us and help us to see what He has for us. We've seen that in the life of Abraham also. You remember when Abraham, he called him to go offer his son at Mount Moriah. And it took him 3 days' journey to go to Mount Moriah. And I want to encourage us today that sometimes it takes, going up hills not always easy. Ascending is not always the most convenient thing to do. But Lord, help us today to put forth those efforts to keep climbing in our spiritual lives, to keep growing in the grace of God and submitting ourselves to Him. And as we do, you remember when He came to that place and He was willing to offer His Son, to put His all in God's hand, the Lord showed to Him, the Lord revealed to Him, and it said, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the same thing happens with us. When we give ourselves to the Lord and we put our all into His hands, and when we offer our body a living sacrifice, and we don't dictate to God, but we give ourselves to Him, then the Lord begins to give us a vision. And He helps us to see things that we had never seen before. I want to share, I remember when I first got saved, and I knew the saints didn't go along with sports. But I didn't know why. And I had played in sports ever since I was about 5 years old. I loved it. I gave myself to it. I enjoyed it. I loved it. And I got saved. I gave my heart and life to Him. But I didn't understand. I thought, you know, baseball, you're dressed more modestly, right? And that was my thought. And I tried to delve in. What did the early morning church teach? I was struggling. And I believe the Lord saw my heart. He recognized my heart. It wasn't an easy thing. But I remember I was sitting in the cafeteria. All the baseball players had to check in for breakfast. And the coach would mark your name off when you came through the line. And I was sitting by myself, and these thoughts were struggling in my mind. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And He said, now's the time. That's all He said. He didn't tell me that baseball was wrong. He just said, now's the time. And He knew what I was struggling with in my spirit. And I knew what the Lord wanted at that time, at that moment. I didn't have any understanding. And none of the saints said anything about it to me. They didn't tell me I was going to have to quit or anything. But I was struggling, and the Lord spoke that. And I knew what the Lord wanted. And my knees started shaking, my heart started pounding. Wonder I didn't have a stroke right there. Because I didn't know how it was all going to work out. But I remember walking over to His table, and I had my plate. I'd done eating, and I was just trembly. But I told Him, I said, I'm not going to be playing baseball. I'm quitting. And He looked at me with a troubled look, a puzzled look. And I said, I'm not going to play. He said, if you change your mind, please let me know. And I walked away from that table. And the peace of God so flooded my heart and my spirit. It was like I was in heaven. And I knew, no doubt, no question, that I had made the right choice and the right decision. I was confident of that. God just was so real. He came down into my spirit. And I just, you know, you'd think I would have been sorrowful. I wasn't sorrowful. I was rejoicing, thanking God for His peace and His presence that came in and helped me. Later, the Lord gave me the scripture. And it was the work of the flesh in Galatians, where it talks about emulation. That word emulation means striving to be better than somebody else. Striving to do better than someone else. And I began to think back of all of our cheers and all the pep assemblies, all the chants that they made. And they were all puffing up self. And they were all putting down others. And I saw it so clearly. The Lord helped me to see. That's not the spirit of Christ. And now I see how it leads in the wrong direction. It leads in the way of the pride of life, not in the humility of Christ. I can see it so clearly. The further they go up, the worse that it gets. The carnality, the drunkenness, and the things that go with it, the big money. It just gets worse and worse. But I saw that in my soul. It became plain to me. I wanted to mention too about long sleeves this morning. And I know you're probably, most of you are not going to, or a lot of you won't like me for this. That was something else I didn't understand when I came among the saints. But I did it. I obeyed. I yielded. And you know, after I did, you know what the Lord brought to my mind? And I'm embarrassed to mention this today. The Lord brought to mind how vain and proud I was about my masculinity. I used to, not me, not just me, but a bunch of us boys, you know, we'd put our arms down, cut the blood flow off, let the blood veins pop out, see how many we'd get pop out, and we'd count the blood veins, see how strong we were. When the girls would come around, you'd kind of position your arms in such a way that looked... That was me. I was guilty of that. And the Lord said, cover it up. Cover it up. He wants the young men to be strong. Let it be a hidden strength. Not to be put on display by the flesh. You see, I didn't see that at first. It didn't make sense to me. But as I yielded myself to God and I kept seeking God and looking to Him, it became obvious to me. And you can see it. You can see it walking down the road today. It runs in men. They're proud of their strength and their masculinity. Let it be a hidden strength with us. God can help us to recognize those places. I think about the scripture I want to get in Acts, the 26th chapter and the 14th verse. The book of Acts, the 26th chapter. This is a scripture Paul was mentioning. Verse 14. It says, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He says, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I will send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He said, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Paul followed that all of his life. He followed that vision all of his life, and he rehearsed it, and he remembered what God had done for him. And it changed the direction of his life. And it gave him purpose, and it gave him direction. And that's what a vision will do for us also. We may not have, and I wanted to mention, I wanted to use this word vision because we may not see a great light. But God has a way of revealing Himself to our hearts that will take us above and beyond the doubts and the accusations. When we submit ourselves fully and wholly to Him, He can make it clear to every one of us. He uses the Scriptures. He'll use testimony. He uses people that we know. God will use the different things to make it clear and bring it to us. And we want to stand on that. And we want to move in that. We want that. And that's our plan. That's our game plan today. That's how we're going to fight the enemy with. That's our game plan. We have to have a game plan today. Without a vision, they perish. Without that direction, we'll fail and come short. I also wanted to mention also the scripture there. Talked about the Ezekiel 37 vision. Valley of Dry Bones. I want to get just, won't take time to read the whole thing, but I wanted to get just a few verses. In verse 1, he says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." I think I probably would have said the same thing if I was there. It said they were very dry. The bones were scattered around. It just looked like a hopeless situation. It looked like there was no hope for them. And going on down to verse 11, he said unto me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts." That's what the camp of the saints was feeling. There's no hope for me. I'm dry. It just does seem like nothing's working out. Folks, I want to encourage us this morning, when we put ourselves in God's hands, when we take our hands off, God is able to bring things together. You know, these bones were scattered, and when they began to prophesy, the word of the Lord was there and the Spirit of God was there, things started coming together. And the Lord can do the same thing for our lives. When we yield to Him and submit Him, it may look hopeless, it may look bleak, but if we'll put our trust, our confidence in Him, things can begin to come together. And pretty soon it was an exceeding great army. You know, sometimes the Lord has given us a vision. But through the cares of life, through the deceitfulness of riches, through trouble and difficulty, we may have lost. We may have lost that vision. And we're just wondering about week to week, month to month, just trying to get through life. God's got something more for us. He caused them to come back together. Another place He said, "I will cause you to come out of your graves." Sometimes it just feels like we're almost buried in trouble and difficulties and hardships. Everywhere you look, there's burdens and afflictions and cares. And it just feels like sometimes you're so buried under it. The Lord has a vision for us. He has life for us still. If we could continue to give ourselves to Him and put our trust in Him, He can cause things to come together that are disjointed. You know, I think about family sometimes, and it was mentioned in this meeting, falling apart. disjointed. Oh, you know, the Lord can work and bring things together again. Sometimes I've seen marriages look like they were gone and the second time around was better than the first with the original companion. See, the devil just like you think, well, you need somebody new. You need somebody different. Oh, may the Lord give renew the vision. What is the vision that you had when you took those vows? You had a vision of happiness. You had a vision of walking through life together. God can renew that vision. He can renew that today. Lord, help us today to recognize those places that He's calling us to. Help us to have that vision of my life being useful, of my life filling a place that God wants it to fill. The devil tried you to think, well, you're too old. You don't have much ability. You don't have much strength. God can give a vision today. He can renew. Lord, help us today to shake the dust off of what God has given us and help us to go forward in God. Sometimes it's hard to take the next step. But I find as we do, as we take the next step, the Lord, if I don't take the step, I'll fail. If I don't have the vision, I'll perish. But if I just take the next feeble step, I find that the Lord will meet with you. He'll help you in that little feeble effort of your step, even though it may look like it's not doing nothing. He'll help you. He'll bless you and He'll give you strength. Lord, help us not to lose our vision today. Help us to hold the vision that God has blessed us with and that God has given. I believe it will carry us through. I believe it will help us. May God bless us. Bless you with grace and peace and comfort in the Holy Spirit today. Amen.